Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What I heard a wise man once say, hungry dog's gonna run faster. If you hungry, you're gonna get what you want.
Touchdown! Kansas City! And the Chiefs Kingdom has firmly planted its flag on top of football's highest summit. And the Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54.
Our Football Power Index is live for the 2020 season, and there should be no surprise who that top team is. The second straight year, it belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs, the number one team in the preseason rankings. They also happen to be the defending Super Bowl champions. Happy to have you with us after the holiday weekend. I'm Wendy Nix. Diana Rossini is here, Ryan Clark, and Tim Hasselbeck are as well. Let's look at some storylines for our preseason FPI release. The Chiefs have a 21% chance to win the Super Bowl and become the first team to repeat since the Pats in 03 and 04. Tom Brady's new team, that's the Bucs, they have a 63% chance to make the playoffs, slightly higher than his former team. New England has a 60% chance to reach the postseason. And then there's the Cowboys, 69% chance to make the playoffs, the fifth highest in the league and the highest for any team that missed the playoffs last season, which means, by the way, Ryan Clark, we'll have to see some improvement. What's the biggest issue you have with this list?
It's just that we just keep doing this with the Cowboys, Wendy Nix. Why? Every offseason. Last I checked, when you go back to the playoffs last year, I didn't see the Cowboys. They were an 8-8 team. The Cowboys were a team that couldn't beat the Philadelphia Eagles when Diana Rossini, Tim Hasselbeck, and Wendy Nix were playing skill positions for Carson Wentz. They lost that game. And so all of a sudden, they're that much better. Is it because of Mike McCarthy? The same Mike McCarthy that was fired because he was 6-9-1 with one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in this game. And not only did they fire him, but to replace him offensively, they went and got a dude that already proved he couldn't coach offense because they were 27th ranked in Tennessee in Matt LaFleur. And so now all of a sudden, that's going to make you so much better. Are you going to be so much better because you drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round when you were already racking up yards at an alarming rate? Does that make them that much? Had they improved more than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And so if we're going to put this all on Mike McCarthy and what he can do, how much better he is than Jason Garrett, I think we have to put Mike McCarthy's resume, we have to put it in perspective and say, you know what? He probably underachieved with who was the best quarterback we had seen up until seeing Patrick Mahomes. So for me, they don't belong there. They're not even in the top five of the NFC contenders to me. And so we've done it once again. We saw Jerry Jones drafting on his yacht and we all got excited. That don't win no games. The yacht can't win no games. Having fun in the offseason can't win no games. Your team being worth $5 billion don't win no games. This team didn't make the playoffs. They're still outside of the top five of the playoffs this year. And I'm just disgusted that we're having this conversation during a time like this in America, Wendy Nix. Now talk to Diana and Tim for the rest of the show. I have retired from TV.
Wait, let me just say this. It's still like more fun to draft on a yacht. That's all I'm going to say. It may not win any games, but it's still more fun. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, I think Ryan and I had the same reaction. Listen, there's 32 teams on there. When that list came out, it was like the Cowboys just like jumped off the page for me. I was like, wait a second. Hold on a minute. Five for the Dallas Cowboys? Like, I'm not sure the best team in their own division. You look at some of the teams behind them, like the Seattle Seahawks. Seems like the Green Bay Packers, 10 spots behind them. I'm like, wait a second. Like, yeah, I get the Mike McCarthy thing. You know, people are excited about it and all of that. Remember, Mike McCarthy isn't even with his players right now. Think of the challenge that every new coach has. And so, you know, even if you are, you know, overly optimistic about the influence that Mike McCarthy is going to have right away, he's not even in the same room as his players. So I just look at this, and I understand that people are excited. The quarterback's coming off the best year of his career. Maybe they've upgraded the receiver position. There have been some losses, you know, on that team. But, golly, all the way up at 5, that one stuck out like a sore thumb.
I feel like this club is like the hate the Dallas Cowboys club, and it's not intended to be. In fact, it's one of those days I would never in studio because I don't think the three of us have ever agreed on anything, and we are all in agreement here.
Fact.
Because it really did just stick out so much. Because here's the thing. You look on paper at this Cowboys roster. You look at their schedule. They've got a really easy schedule. So automatically you think they're going to be good. They're going to win the division. But then you start thinking about what they actually are and what they're dealing with. 10 points to the new head coach situation. You have to always make that a factor, especially with the quarterback still going through these contract negotiation situations. We don't know what's going to actually happen here. We're about 49 days away from finding out what the future is. These guys aren't even together. Dak's not even participating in these virtual meetings. You know who is? Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is in those meetings right now learning this offense. So while it's so tempting to go, all right, the Cowboys are winning the NFC East because of the good offseason they had, they got to bring this all together. And you know who's got a team that's very good at keeping it all together? It's the Eagles, which is why I have Philly winning that division way over the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, listen, I like the way it brought us all together, though, right? It's a very unifying force, those Cowboys. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for just a minute. They were a 6-win team last season. That, too, was almost immediately forgotten the minute the team announced it had signed former Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. In addition, some have argued renders the Bucs an immediate Super Bowl contender.
I was really excited. I knew that. I mean, that instantly made it as a Super Bowl contender, a playoff contender, and that's what exactly what we need to be right now. If we would have had James, I think James would have made a big jump. But I think with Brady, it just makes us an automatic like contender for Super Bowl. With James, I think we'd have been a playoff contender. It would have been still a battle for sure, and it's still going to be a battle now. But having Tom, I think we're going to be over the edge and everything. On paper, it looks perfect. We just got to put the work in.
He's tiptoeing that line, Tim. We got way better, but he doesn't want to say it. Listen, does the offseason and the arrival of Tom Brady change everything for the Bucs, at least in the short term?
No, it doesn't change everything because it doesn't remove the New Orleans Saints from their division. Like, Brady going to Tampa Bay doesn't change that the New Orleans Saints are for real. Like, that's a 13-3 team last year that ripped off a bunch of wins with their backup quarterback. Like, I look at what New Orleans has done. They are good on both sides of the ball. They've added some, you know, key pieces this offseason. You know, Drew Brees is still there. So, look, I understand the excitement. I also think you've got to be a little bit careful. Like, Jameis Winston, sure, he threw a bunch of interceptions last year. But there were some good moments from Jameis as well. And so this notion that, like, Tom Brady is going to just fix everything. Like, every other player on that team was fine. It was Jameis holding them back. But now that Brady's there, they're good. They're a Super Bowl contender. Like, be careful with that. Like, that's a really dangerous path to go down. I think Brady makes them better. There's no doubt about it. I think they could easily be a playoff team and Brady in the playoffs. Who knows what could happen? But I think it's kind of dangerous to have these players thinking that everything changes when old number 12 walks into the locker room.
Tim Hasselbeck, I am disappointed in you. I thought on Mondays during the season, we figured this thing out. You are not doing the FPIing the way you're supposed to be FPIing, because this is what we learned. The Cowboys had 8 wins. Just because they got rid of Jason Garrett and got Mike McCarthy, they have the fifth best chance to win the Super Bowl. Now, stay with me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they won 7 games. They got rid of a dude who did have some bright spots in Jameis Winston, who is going to have the first 30 for 30, actually called 30 for 30, because he threw 30 interceptions. They got rid of that guy. And not only did they get rid of him, they brought in the greatest quarterback of all time, not the best, not just good, the greatest of all time. And so you're going to tell me that the 8-8 Cowboys could be fifth because they got Mike McCarthy, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that was 7-9 got rid of 30 for 30 and got Tom Brady and they ranked below the Cowboys? Hell no. No, sir. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a legit contender, and they might not win the NFC South because the New Orleans Saints are that good. But when they get things rolling and you have somebody that can make plays in situational football moments the way that Tom Brady will, they at least going to be better than the Dallas Cowboys. So this list is wrong, wrong, wrong.
Way to sell it, Ryan. Listen, always appreciate the sell. Diana? Listen, I'm glad to see he's moved past the Cowboys. Anyway, what's your take on the Bucs with Brady?
I hope you're going to buy what I'm about to sell here because I am against Ryan's thoughts here. And here's why. Last week, we heard about Tampa talking about this offense, what it's going to look like. It's going to be Bruce Arians with a Tom Brady influence. Why the heck is this offense not a Tom Brady offense? Period. End of sentence. This is a guy who's been in the same system for 20 years. Give him everything he knows. Why are you going to teach him anything different? There's going to be a learning curve. We have this condensed offseason. We have a lot of change for Brady. As good as he is, as smart as of a quarterback as we know Tom Brady to be, he still has to learn his players. He still has to build this chemistry, figure out a playbook that is run by Bruce Arians. So when I heard that, I started to shift my thoughts on how Tampa's going to finish. I think they finish 8-8.
Chemistry. Tom Brady knew Antonio Brown for 27 seconds before they went to Miami. And they look dang good to me. Bring over Josh Gordon.
He never hung out with Josh Gordon.
He knew how to throw him the ball.
Because that's what New England does, right? New England throws the ball to the open man. That's why they're successful. It's very basic. It doesn't matter who the guy is, how much he gets paid. It doesn't matter how many deep balls you got to throw. They hit the open man no matter who the guy is. That's not the Bruce Arians offense. That's why it worked with Tom Brady, not knowing who AB is. Let's see if he can build all that chemistry with this condensed offseason with these guys.
You're asking if Bruce Arians' scheme is going to change who Tom Brady is at his core. At his core, Tom Brady spreads the ball around and throws the ball to the open guy. It doesn't matter what the call is. Tom Brady gets to the line of scrimmage because I've been a part of this torture and this torment. And he finds the matchup. He sees where you're going to vacate zones. He understands who is in man, and he gets the ball to that dude. Guess what they got now? They got a bunch of dudes. There are dudes everywhere. So the one that you're not double covering, the one that you're not rolling coverage to, he's going to find him. That's not going to change about Tom Brady. Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich won't say you have to throw the ball to Evans now.
All right. So it's raining dudes. We got that for sure. Tim Hasselbeck, I'm going to ask you to break our tie, please.
Well, listen, I agree that Tom Brady's great. He's going to improve Tampa Bay. And
that's going
I actually
out on a
probably
limb.
Think that Tampa Bay may end up being better than the Dallas Cowboys. But, like, we're looking at the whole list. We're not just talking Dallas Cowboys and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Pittsburgh
Steelers, I can't leave
Ben
him alone.
Roethlisberger is back. Like Kevin Colbert says, is going to be a better version of Ben Roethlisberger. They went 8-8 with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. Give them Big Ben back and see what happens. Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers went 13-3. He's angry. Like, give me Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers ahead of the Tampa Bay Packers.
Angry.
Minnesota Vikings.
Angry is a
team. I mean, like, all of these teams.
Is it angry? We are talking about I'm talking about Dallas Cowboys.
What? No,
listen,
I'm going back to Aaron Rodgers because angry is a word you use for mere mortals. That man is full on pissed off is what he is. Anyway.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
You can only control what you can control.
The Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
I'm not going to say that I was thrilled by the pick. My desire to start and finish with the same organization may not be a reality at this point.
Touchdown! Oh, my goodness!
I still believe in myself.
Rodgers the Magician!
Strong desire to play into my 40s.
Touchdown! A thing of beauty!
Everybody give me your best, because you know I'm going to lay it on the line for you.
The NFC North saw the Packers win the division for the first time since 2016. They finished with a 13-3 record. And now, according to our FBI, the Vikings have a 38% chance to take home the division crown in 2020. But as we continue with our offseason grades, let's go back to Green Bay. They add a new playmaker for Aaron Rodgers and wide receiver Devin Funchess, but lost several key members, including Jimmy Graham and linebacker Blake Martinez. And then in the draft, turned a whole lot of heads when they traded up in the first round to draft Jordan Love at 26th overall, when a lot of folks thought they'd go out and get some additional help for their current quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. All right, folks, what do we got? I think we have our whiteboards. Ryan, I will start with you and your offseason report card for the Packers. Wait, oh, C minus. Okay, take me
through
it.
Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see it.
C minus. Listen, yep. And here's why. Listen, you go, you try to replace Bulaga, who has been a great tackle for the Green Bay Packers, and you go out and get Wagner. Okay, maybe so. Then you look to Devin Funchess to be your veteran presence in the free agency at the wide receiver position, and he hasn't been able to live up to that first-round billing from being drafted by the Carolina Panthers out of Michigan. And so when you think about some of the things that have been going on with the Green Bay Packers, you're like, you know what? When the draft comes, we're going to make sure we get some weapons for our first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback who has two or three great years left in him. And what do? They move back up into the first round, the 26th, to get Jordan Love. And don't focus on the present. Start to plan for their future. And throughout the rest of the draft, they go and get A.J. Dillon, who is a big bruising running back from Tim Hasselbeck's alma mater, who can kind of compliment Aaron Jones coming off of a great year by Aaron Jones. I just don't understand what the thought process was here in their picking, and I believe that they have ruined their chances to make another Super Bowl run while Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback.
Ooh, ruined their chances. Fighting words, Diana.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Ryan, Clark, Wendy, I woke up feeling a little dangerous, so ooh, I gave the Packers then a B+. So the reason why, this was my thought, when this all went down on draft night, when they went after Jordan Love, you have to look at the history of this franchise, and they've had a quarterback for over 30 years. We've made the point over and over again. We saw Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre go through this same process. The Packers GM was in the building when they made that pick for Aaron Rodgers when he fell to Green Bay. And here, they made the decision for the future. And while it didn't look like a plan for right now to help Aaron Rodgers, they're doing and giving Green Bay Packer fans what they've been used to and comfortable with, and really an answer to a problem that we've seen so many organizations have, which is, who are we going to have at quarterback? And the other layer to it, why I also think going after Jordan Love was a good idea, is how many times, guys, do we see during the regular season the starter goes down, the backup goes in, he can't really do much. This is a great insurance policy, bringing in a player they think that can play and has potential to maybe be the next Aaron Rodgers. So while it was a tough decision that night for Packers fans, I'm giving him a B+.
Timothy, what you got?
I got a C. I think a B-plus is crazy because you don't draft a quarterback in the first round for insurance. And the reason it's a C, even though I see it very similarly to Ryan Clark, is because I'm generally a little bit nicer and less negative than Ryan. So that's why it's a C, not
that?
A C.
Who told you that? Who told you that?
Anyone who knows us knows that that is the case.
No. So look,
ain't no way.
I'm going to focus.
Forget about it.
I'm going to focus on the draft, though. The Jordan Love thing and moving up to get him, to me, like, I think it was a wasted pick. I mean, that's how I see it. And then Ryan alluded to it. A.J. Dillon in the second round, when you had a running back score 19 touchdowns last year, I just, that one, even though he's from Boston College and hope he has a great career, that one seemed odd to me. And then think about the wide receivers that were picked within 14 picks of where A.J. Dillon was picked. You're talking about Chase Claypool, Van Jefferson, Denzel Mims. You think Aaron Rodgers would have liked to have one of those guys, considering, you know, what his receiving core has looked like the past couple years? I really think that the Green Bay Packers, you know, have blown this offseason. And I think the draft, you know, I generally, when everybody hates it, it's not as bad as maybe, you know, it appears. But to me, I think this one, we could look back on it and just wonder, how does this make any sense for Green Bay?
I like how you start. He starts off with the C. I'm kinder. I'm nicer. This could be the worst ever. I mean,
I'm way nicer than Ryan.
Yeah. No. Always back to your roots. Always back to your roots. Negative.
Right.
All right. How about the Vikings? They made the postseason for the second time in three seasons and then shored up their defense, adding defensive tackles Michael Pierce and Anthony Zettel. They did trade Stephon Diggs to the Bills. And Xavier Rhodes, Mackenzie Alexander, and Trey Waynes all left via free agency. Then we look at the draft. Two first-round picks. They opted for Justin Jefferson and Jeff Gladney. So, again, we will start with Diana, I think, and give me your grades. Are we going to see everybody's at the same time? I don't know. Nope, just you, Diana.
Well, Tim thinks he's nice, but I'm the sweetheart of the show, obviously, because
well,
I give the Vikings
yes.
an A. I love what they did extending Kirk Cousins, especially with all those little rumors about perhaps Kyle Shanahan wanting to get back with Kirk Cousins and bring him out to San Francisco. So here's Minnesota saying, yep, here's our quarterback, though. He is our future. He had hit one of his best career postseason plays there that we saw him last year. The guy that we didn't think could play under pressure came through on top of the fact that, look, the Stephon Diggs initially during the trade, I think a lot of us were like, why would they get rid of him? It's Stephon Diggs. And when you start taking a look at it, it was never going to work. So it's better for them to just move on and as they continue to build their defense. So I love what they've done in the offseason.
All right, fair enough. Let's look at the Bears. Chicago made a couple of big splashes in the offseason, adding defensive end Robert Quinn and trading for Super Bowl winning quarterback Nick Foles. And then we look at the draft. They took Notre Dame tight end Cole Kmet in the second round to go along with the newly signed Jimmy Graham. Ryan, a grade for the Chicago Bears, if you will.
You know what? I'm going to give them a C. I think they did a little bit better than the Green Bay Packers did. And I also love the fact that the reason they didn't have a first-round draft pick was because they used it on Khalil Mack. That has seemed to work out. And so now in watching this team and seeing the way they move, this offseason is going to be dictated by whether or not Nick Foles can become the starting quarterback of this team and have some of that Philadelphia Eagles magic. They brought him in. They take over that contract. They restructure it. Does he become the starter of this team? And can he get them to where we thought they would be last year? They draft another tight end. There's like 27 of them in the room, but probably only three that would make the team. So they did okay. Not great, but they were at least okay.
All right. We give you a C, too, for consistent. You know, you've been very solid today, Ryan. Appreciate it. All right. The Lions continue to rebuild their defense after allowing the second most yards in franchise history. They signed former Patriots Jamie Collins and Daron Harmon. However, they also traded All-Pro corner Darius Slay to Philly, but are hoping they found his replacement after they took Jeff Okuda with the third overall pick. Tim Hasselbeck, what you got for the Detroit Lions?
Well, this will be no surprise. Ryan negative with a C and me coming through with an A because I'm just generally so positive.
Different team, different
team. You got
team.
The right team.
They have had a really good offseason, I believe. When you look at, you know, the situation, you mentioned Darius Slay. Obviously, that is a massive loss. But Jeff Okuda could come in and end up kind of filling that void a little bit. And then you look at the rest of their draft, DeAndre Swift, Julian Aquara, basically three guys that I think come in and have a legitimate impact in their rookie season. And then you think of some of the just free agency moves, Danny Shelton, Jamie Collins, Daron Harmon, guys that I think will fit what Matt Patricia wants to do there in Detroit, kind of help set the culture even more. And so, yeah, I think Detroit has done a nice job, actually both last offseason and this offseason, kind of addressing their roster.
All right, Tim, again, positive, happy. Good. Maybe this quarantine's been good for you, Tim. We should leave you down there. We'll just, you stay there. It's going well.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom, Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Well, the Cowboys had an interesting draft using their first-round selection on wide receiver C.D. Lamb. You could argue they had a boatload of talent, given Jerry's penchant for drafting on a yacht. They also filled several holes. Trevon Diggs and Reggie Robinson in the second, corners, as well as taking Wisconsin center Tyler Viendez in the fourth round. Here's what Jerry said. He appears to be pretty pleased with how the Cowboys did over the weekend. He said, I was pretty tickled when DeMarcus Ware was at the top of our board with that draft. He's talking about 05, I think. We had a pretty good feeling about that draft. Now we had two. I'm not so sure we've had one, had one with only one that I feel any better about. It doesn't take much to get me feeling good. Seriously, this is really one of the best. Now, if I read the tea leaves here, Marcus Spears, he's saying he likes this draft about as good as any he's had. And I do believe you were part of one of them. Where are you?
Yes,
are you
Wendy,
there?
I was. I was a part of that.
Be nice, Ryan Clark.
Here I go. Here I go. Okay. The 2005 draft class was really good. We got a Hall of Famer in DeMarcus Ware in that draft. People don't remember Marion Barber, who was a really good running back out of Minnesota. Kevin Burnett, yes, linebacker out of Tennessee. Chris Canty was a defensive end out of Virginia who went on to play for the Giants and win Super Bowls. But the gem of the draft, man, was a guy by the name of Jay Ratliff. Jay Ratliff came from Auburn, was played D-line at Auburn, drafted. I think Jay was drafted in the seventh round, ended up being an all-pro and pro bowler in a 3-4 defense at nose tackle at about 270 with his quickness and his ability to play. So that 05 draft class, man, it's hard to beat that one. But you look at what they were able to do in addressing so many different positions this year, replacing obviously Travis Frederick leaving with a Wisconsin center who you feel pretty good about on the offensive line, and then getting CeeDee Lamb at 17. Are you kidding me? So this was a really good draft. I don't know if it's as good as the 05 yet, though.
I tell you what, I'm biased, notably biased, but I think you're the gem of that draft class, Marcus. You're our gem anyway. Mel, you graded both of those draft classes. How would you compare the two?
I like 2005's better, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I think this draft class I gave a B-plus to, Wendy. I think you look at what the guys were saying and Marcus was talking about. Will Bradley and I be that late-round steal? Coming out of Utah, ran 4.89. That's not what you want in a pass-rushing defensive end, but you turn on the tape, you got to be excited about Bradley and I. He was a heck of a player for the Utes. Will Tyler Biotis step in with what Frederick did at center, both out of Wisconsin? Not as good as Frederick, but can he overachieve a little bit and become that type of player? And Reggie Robinson II, cornerback out of Tulsa, was an ascender over the last 3 months. People were really on this guy. They grabbed him. He's got length and athleticism, and he had a great year for the Golden Hurricane. So beyond CeeDee Lamb, Neville Gallimore, and Trevon Diggs, I think those other guys will key it. Now back to 05. I had Marcus Spears 18th on the big board. He went 20th. Aaron Rodgers, I had 7th. He dropped even below Marcus Spears and became a steal for the Packers. My last comment for Marcus was, incredibly talented, but needs to sustain a little bit of a higher intensity level. Little did we know he'd bring that intensity to ESPN
yeah,
and the
no
SEC
more.
Network.
I can't take
there
it anymore.
There you go, Marcus.
Mel, I need you to do an analysis on all of the analysts in talk radio. I need you to do a draft for analysts, man, and get our weaknesses and our positives and put it on there.
Guys, Marcus, let me ask you this, Marcus, and then I want to hear from everybody. Did the Cowboys do enough, regardless of how that draft compares, did they do enough to compete in the NFC East?
Yeah, they did. Wendy, to be honest with you, they should have been able to win the NFC East last year. But in order to compete, they should be able to win it. Now, obviously, losing Travis Frederick is huge. And I think we'll see some of the problems that they may have, especially with a season that we have coming up where you possibly don't have the all-season work to get Dak acclimated with a brand new center. And Looney is also there, too, who's been there and may have some rapport already with Dak Prescott. But you look at this draft. They got a slot receiver in CeeDee Lamb. They replaced Randall Cobb, who they had last year, which may be an upgrade at this point. And that's not to say Randall Cobb wasn't a really good player. Zeke is there for a full, well, perceivably full offseason. It should be better.
You know, I expect this team to be better just because when you look at the way they underachieved last year, how can it be any worse? They were really in a very bad division, which was the NFC East last year. They weren't great, and they still couldn't pull it off. I believe this draft was good. If those cornerbacks end up being good players, that truly helps, especially early. CeeDee Lamb is a steal, but there's still a lot of work to be done to think whether or not the Dallas Cowboys can compete at the level that they want to. But as far as the NFC East, I do believe it's a two-team race between the Cowboys and the Eagles.
And, of course, Ryan Clark, we all know that if it's a two-team race between the Cowboys and the Eagles, the Cowboys will win it because it's been 16 years since the NFC East had a repeat champion. Every year in the offseason, I make this point. Every year it continues to be true. Somehow, I think the Cowboys are definitely a contender, and history is on their side.
All right. Also notable, guys, the Cowboys have the third easiest schedule in the league. Now, speaking of the Eagles, one of the other notable picks of this draft, also in the NFC East, the Eagles took former Alabama and Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts. Here's Eagles GM Howie Roseman explaining the rationale for that decision. Oh, here we go. This first, though, Carson Wentz had this to say. Welcome to the best football city in America, brother. That was two. Jalen Hurts, who responded in kind, so excited to get to learn from you in Philly. Let's get to work. Now here's GM Howie Roseman.
I think it's okay to question our thought process, and we'll get through that a little bit here. But, you know, I don't want to get lost in the fact that Jalen Hurts is an Eagle, and he's ours. And this is one of the great college football players of the last 4 years. This is one of the great character guys in this draft. This is one of the great leaders in this draft. This is an asset to any football team. And I want our fans to take a minute and just watch that guy and see that this is a talented guy that we added to our football team. Yeah, we're not looking for Carson's replacement. I hope Carson plays till, you know, all these guys are playing 40, 42 years old. They're not doing that. But, you know, we just feel like this is the most important position in sports. And we think this player has something to him. And I think that, you know, you've seen that there are opportunities there where the quarterbacks, they're the most valued position too. And you get an opportunity to get one. And you think about it and think about what can have more factor on all of our lives than happiness and how that affects all of us. Carson's an ultimate team guy. Do I think he's human and probably would want to do whatever's best for the team this year to help him win another Super Bowl championship? Yeah, probably. But I think you saw it in his tweet. He's first class all the way, and he's a team guy all the way.
In the last 5 years, we've seen several defensive backs drafted in the top six. That includes Jalen Ramsey, Jamal Adams, who we talked about, and Denzel Ward, all of whom have already made at least one Pro Bowl. But now add Okuda, the highest drafted D-back since Sean Springs, third overall in 1997. Ryan, what makes Okuda so special?
I think when you look at him, it's his length, it's his ability to compete, and the way that he forces people into tough catches. Even if you go back to his freshman year when he was wearing 29, it was very difficult to catch footballs on Jeff Okuda. He's a guy who can play press. He was also great at Bell when asked to do that at Ohio State, and he's a finisher. You can even look back to the semifinal this year when he's playing against NFL receivers in T. Higgins and Justin Ross, and he was locked down, shut down, and he shut out those wide receivers, and that's what you're going to get from him in Detroit. He's going to be a guy that's going to be asked to replace Darius Slay Jr., and in their very heavy man scheme, I think he was the best fit for the Detroit Lions at pick number 3, and he will excel from day one. He's a day one starter, and when you pick a guy in the top 5, you expect him to make Pro Bowls early, and that's what will be expected from Jeff Okuda.
Plug and play. You're exactly right. Ryan, thank you. Let's look ahead, shall we? This year's draft just ended already. We look ahead. The dates are now set.
Get ready, Mel Kiper, if you're out there. The 86th NFL Draft will be held April 29th to May 1st, so a little later next year, 2021, in downtown Cleveland, Ohio. Here we come. Rams head coach Sean McVay, the youngest in the NFL. He's just 34 years old, but this virtual offseason isn't for everyone. Here's the head coach on his first technical difficulties of the season.
Today was the first day of our virtual offseason program. It was pretty smooth other than my first team invite where it was a team meeting. I somehow disconnected the only to enable audio on the telephone setting, provided some good comic relief for guys. I was feeling myself a little too much on this IT and got a dose of humble pie this morning.
It was crazy millennials, Ryan Clark. Listen, I'm not about to throw any stones because we all know where I land with these IT technical difficulties, but it's not for everybody, Ryan.
Listen, I'm terrible. I tried to do an IG live the other day, and I'm screaming to my kids off to the side, asking them, can you hear me? Can you listen? Can you give me a comment so you can request me? So I don't know anything about any of this. So for me, I'm not mad at Sean McVay at all.
Something tells me he's better than both of us anyway. Marcus, you're pretty good at this stuff, I feel like.
Wendy, I'm pretty good at technology, but there ain't no way in hell Sean McVay on the West Coast supposed to have IT trouble. That is the home and the hub of IT. Silicon Valley right down
the
street,
West Coast?
And he having problems with his IT.
Gentlemen, it is fun as always. Hopefully we get this thing back on the air tomorrow. See you later.